I'm going to preach on obedience tonight. The Lord would help us. That's a simple, simple subject, but a very, very essential. We had to obey to receive salvation. We had to obey to stay with it. And there's a lot of things goes with obedience. And I want to preach a while to you tonight as the Lord would help us. God is so good to us, isn't he? Deuteronomy 26 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 26 and verse 16. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments, and thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. The Lord had given the children of Israel several commandments, and here he encourages them to do them. And thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. You know, I believe that there are people that are living right, playing or living the part, I must say, probably that's the best way to do it. And but they're not doing it with all of their heart. I believe they're keeping the commandments, but are they doing it with all of their heart and with all of their soul? It takes that to love the Lord. Do it with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Obedience. That's what we did that night or that morning or whenever it was that you answered the call and God saved your soul. You came to him in obedience. And we humbled ourselves before the Lord and gave him our lives. I never will forget that night that I came forward. And that the crowd there at that revival service, I'd gotten to the place and I was so under conviction until I forgot the crowd. And I believe that's the way a Holy Ghost conviction works. It can be so heavy, and it can be so real upon the hearts and the lives of men and women that they won't have any idea what's going on around about them. And I tell you, everything that preacher asked me to do, I would do it. Because he'd done preached on hell that night, and I didn't want to go there. If he'd have said, stand on your head, I believe I'd have tried it by those chairs. Brother, I wanted to be saved. He said, everybody raise your hands that would like to be saved. I want to pray for you. And he did just that. And said, everybody that raised your hands, stand to your feet. And I stood to my feet. I just like a puppet. You ever seen a puppet? Everything he told me to do, Brother Ardell, I did it. And I thought when I came into that big crowd that night and people were worshiping God, and I was kind of the bashful type anyway, I said, I would never think about doing something to attract attention in no way. In all of this crowd. But I want you to know when he said stand to your feet, I stood. And he talked to us a little bit longer about the Lord and salvation. He said, now step out and come toward the front. I just, you know, you're like a little puppet, you know. I just started that way. And as I stood before him and I listened to what he said, I did just exactly what he told me to do. And did you know when I got down to pray, I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to seek the Lord. And there were some people around me, and there were several young people, and they were quoting scriptures. And they said, he that cometh unto him, he will in no wise cast you out. Hallelujah. Yeah. And I prayed on a little while longer. He said, somebody else quoted that scripture, said, if you'll confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I did that to best of my ability. I did that. And I began to ask the Lord to forgive me for lying, forgive me for cussing, forgive me for going to the picture shows, forgive me for going to the pool halls, Lord. And I got to the place that I couldn't remember no more of my sins. Hallelujah. And all I could do was say, Lord, help me. And Brother Jad, the grace of God come down and the blood of Jesus went to work and washed this old filthy sinner from his sins and gave me this wonderful salvation of Jesus Christ through just simply obeying. I've seen people become rebellious in the house of the Lord. Haven't you? And that won't bring the blessing. That won't bring what we need from the Lord. It's going to take obedience with all of our heart and with all of our souls. You know what I'm talking about? With everything that is within you. With all of our hearts and with all of our souls. How many of you has ever stepped out and obeyed the Lord after he spoke to you in the service? How many of you have? Wasn't it good? How many of you the devil hopped on your shoulder on the way home? You sure showed out tonight. And I've just come to the place, Brother Shorty, if you obey God, the devil's going to be on your back. And if you don't obey God, he's going to say, now you are a Christian now. And you didn't even do what you're supposed to do. He's going to get you anyhow, church. Why don't you just go ahead and obey God? And you got to contend with him anyway. So why don't you go ahead and obey God with all of your soul and with all of your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Joshua 1 and 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Amen. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Yeah. So the Lord has promised us good success and that our way would be prosperous. And I want you to know, the number one thing in this scripture is not greenbacks or a big bank account. To be a successful Christian is to live a victorious life every day that we live. Now, I haven't did that every day of my Christian experience, and I've had to repent. But why not repent? Don't fall out. Just come on back and fall in to the arms of Jesus. He'll help you. He'll bless you. Glory. I believe that if we will obey him, he will prosper us. Sharon and Joe was in revival at Brother Mike Holden's at Blair, Oklahoma one night. And I was preaching in Alabama, and Benjamin was supposed to preach in Indiana. And there Joe was preaching revival at Blair. And Sharon said, I thought about, pray for my daddy, prayer request. Pray for my daddy, he's supposed to preach in Alabama tonight. Pray for my son, he's supposed to preach in Indiana tonight. And pray for Joe, he's supposed to preach here tonight. You know what? I begin to think about that. Glory, I couldn't get any richer, Brother Wayne. Man, and here comes Jeff along. He's working good in the church at Fairland, and he feels the call of God to preach on his life. Hallelujah. Got four or five preachers, counting Sister Elizabeth, in the family. What more could you ask for? How much richer could a guy get? Woo. Hallelujah. Y'all know Brother Wayne and Sister Elizabeth and myself, and we're in-laws. Not outlaws, but in-laws. We've never had a cross since we have been in one another's families. Isn't that good? You know where that comes from? Obedience. Yeah. We all went to the studio one time. And there's a little lady there taking pictures. And they says, now who is the daddy and who is the grandpa's and who's this? And we begin to try to explain. Says, well, we are all here tonight. She said, what? Says, that's very unusual. One family. Yeah, just one family. And we're all here to get our picture made. She said, that is very unusual. Well, I was kind of proud of us, Brother Wayne. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. You couldn't have asked it to work out any better when Opalie's mother passed away. And they divided the stuff. And Sister Rockwell was gone. There was her two brothers and herself. Not a bobble. No fuss in any way. And I told Opalie, I said, before y'all meet, I said, don't ask me to say nothing. I am staying out of it. And that didn't mean that there was any problem. But I mean, if I'd have barged in there, it could have been some, you know. But they wound up asking me, what should we do on this? I said, well, Prentice, you and Thomas, y'all go. I said, we're asking you, Ben. We want your opinion on this. And, well, I gave them my little opinion. Well, my mama and my daddy passed away. And there wasn't a bobble in our family. I tell you, that's the true riches. Hey, family's getting in a squabble and a fussing over this, and I'm going to get this, and I'm going to get the other. What is it going to amount to anyway when we lay down and die? Let's obey God. I'm rich. How about y'all? Glory be to God. There's nothing like having the peace of God in your homes. Sharon was going with a boy one time, and I noticed he sulked up, you know, and wouldn't say nothing. And he wouldn't carry on a conversation. And after he left, I set Miss Sharon down. I said, Sharon, I said, sweet, honey bun, I want to talk to you just a little bit. I said, I cannot see you living with somebody that would sell up for 4 days and not say nothing. I said, you would be a miserable little old girl. And so old Joe come by. And man, there's not a dull moment around him. You got to raise your hand to get a word in edgewise. Oh, yeah. Oh, glory to God. Talking about rich. You can be rich in other ways besides the monetary gains. Oh, blessed be God. The Lord wants us to be obedient children. Doesn't it make us parents feel good when our children would take our advice? And young'uns, y'all listen to me. And I got these boys' attention tonight, folks. Hallelujah. When mama, when you say, Johnny, will you take out the trash and burn it, please? Oh, it makes daddy and mama feel good when he goes right on to the trash bucket and takes it out to the barrel and burns it. But if they ask him, Manuel, and he's like, oh, I don't want to do that. I did it to life. I tell you, that makes unhappy moms and dads. When God looks down and he sees you and he's got confidence enough in you to speak to you and ask you to do something, and he's got confidence in you that you can do it when he speaks to you. And whenever he talks to you, you just take it, Lord, you've told me to do it now. I'm going to try it. If I fail, Lord, you just stand by me. I'm going to do your will if I possibly can do it. You know, a lot of times the key to the whole service is in one individual in the church. And if they fail to obey God, if they fail to do what God says, what is it? I know God can do it with other people, and I have seen him, and I have heard some stories that somebody said, well, I felt like doing what brother so-and-so done tonight. Says the Lord spoke to me to do that. Yeah, God can talk to other people and get them to do what you're supposed to do, and then you will lose your blessing, and you'll have to put up with the devil all the way home. Amen. Oh, I'd just rather obey God. Hallelujah. And just let the devil howl. Glory. God is the one we're trying to please, aren't we? Amen. Amen. Oh, I want my way to be prosperous. Amen. It means something if your kids is saved. Oh, it means something if your young'uns are saved. Hallelujah. Man, if we live right, and if we go through this world and we lose our children, what have we done? What have we done? But if we live this life, and we carry our children with us. Amen. Hallelujah. I still correct my children. I didn't think you had any home, Brother Ben. I got Joe. I got Sharon. I got Vonda and Jeff now. And who else? And Opalie. Amen. And it makes you feel good when you try to give them good advice and they take it. Hallelujah. Obey God and the Lord will bless you for it. You know, when you say, I'm going to obey God, it may be something that you feel like is really absurd. Lord, this is absurd. You're asking me to do this? God spoke to Noah and said, I want you to build an ark. I want you. He gave him the pattern. He gave him the blueprint. And God gave him a big job. But in the time to come, he built that large boat. But in obedience to God, God said, go for wood. He didn't go out and get pine. God said, so long. He didn't build it any shorter. God said, so wide. Noah didn't build it any more narrower. 3 stories, God said, and put a window in the top and a door in the side. Noah did what the Lord commanded him. And when that day of tragedy came, Noah and his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives were saved. Hallelujah. You know, it's funny that God didn't say, now, Noah, put a big motor in this big boat, buddy, because it's going to take something to push this. He didn't have any directions, any blueprint concerning a rudder of any sort. But it was just a big boat. And God gave him the blueprint. And he built that boat without a motor, without a sail, without a rudder. Noah built it. You know what God wanted? God wanted to have complete control over that boat. God, man, was good enough to obey and to build it. He said, I want to guide it. And when God's guided it, and when God had his hand on it, everybody in it were saved, including the animals. Praise God. What would have happened to Naaman if he hadn't obeyed the prophet? Where would he have wound up? Languishing away in his leprosy. What would Abraham have done if he hadn't have been willing to sacrifice Isaac, his son? Abraham would have missed it. He would have disobeyed God, and no telling what would have happened to Abraham. What if the other Bible characters had a disobeyed when God spoke to them to do some things? There would have been somebody that would have come up short. Amen. You've got to be willing to simply obey God. Yes. Hallelujah to Jesus. I said hallelujah to Jesus. This past November, Brother Lloyd was called upon to preach a meeting in Richmond, Indiana. And Sister Betty Seymour was supposed to undergo a brain, a tumor on the brain operation. And Brother Lloyd didn't know whether the doctor would finally do it ahead of time or go ahead and do it as scheduled or just what. And finally it wound up right on that week that Sister Betty was to go in the hospital. And he had already spoken to me about taking care of the church while he was gone. And so he called Brother Carpenter, and he told Brother Carpenter, he said, Brother Carpenter, don't look like I'm going to get to come unless something else changes. And said, Brother Shaw was supposed to take care of my services while I was gone. He said, well, if Brother Shaw is available, says, get him to come on. How many of us ever tried to take somebody else's place? Man, I was nervous when I found out. It was just like that for a good long while. But finally, I knew that I was going to have to go to Richmond, Indiana, and Brother Lord was going to have to stay home and see about Sister Betty. And so here I come trudging off up toward Richmond, and I did my best. And the Lord blessed us. And on that last night service, I had noticed during the services a little woman coming in and sitting here on my left and your right in the church. And you could look at her and tell that she was a cancer patient. And she was a precious little woman. And she could hardly come in to the building on this walker. I'd see her come in every night. It was just real careful steps. After the cancer operation, the doctor afterwards told her that she would never walk again. But there she was walking with the help of a walker. And when the song service got started that night, the Lord moved on that little woman to get up and walk around. I mean, the glory of God was in that service. They were singing so good. And the Lord spoke to this little woman that had the cancer. And she said afterwards, she told us about what happened afterwards. She says, Lord, I said, I can't walk. I could barely come in and go places on my walker. There's a little time elapsed, and the Lord spoke to her again and said, I want you to walk. And she looked up and says, all right, Lord, if you want me to walk, I'll do the best I can. And brother, she pushed that walker aside and stepped out from between those benches, and the church knew her situation. Knew what was wrong with her and knew that she couldn't walk much with the walker, much less without the walker. She stepped out from between those pews and came up front and walked up and down, hallelujah to God forever, and looked like the more she done it, the stronger she got. The power of God fell in that. Y'all remember that Brother Carpenter was with us in our camp meeting. Yeah. And you remember the hearing problem that he had. Right. He couldn't detect what key it was being played. And he said a few weeks before then, he had tried to sing on Sunday morning. And one of the ladies met him at the back door and says, Brother Carpenter, please don't try to sing no more. Said, we can't hardly stand it. He did so terrible. He could not pitch. He could not. I reckon because of his hearing. He said in his testimony that night after the service had about come to a close, he said, folks, he said, tonight something happened to me. He said, I bought this $2,100 ear thing, and I was hearing just a little bit better to the place that I could sing some. But said, tonight, this little thing in my ear that I did have in my ear, it was bothering me. It was feeling like it wasn't supposed to be there. I said, man, my eyes got big. And Sister Carpenter, she said, she's looking like took it out. And he was up there talking. And he said to himself before he sung that song, says, now I'm not going to get uneasy. I'm going to see what the Lord has done here with my hearing. And he was hearing people. He was hearing the piano. And he walked over there and told her what key. And he sang that song, If I Could Still Go Free. Y'all know the highs and the lows in that song. He said, that was a hard song to sing. But he went over there and told that girl what key. He took that microphone out of the scabbard. Hallelujah. And he started off and he sung that song from beginning to the end without a bobble. God had touched Brother Carpenter because that little old woman moved out. And the power of God fell in that service. And Brother Carpenter got his healing. He wasn't praying for it. He wasn't expecting it. But it just fell on him. And it happened. Well, I talked to him a little bit after service that night. And he seemed to be hearing good. So a week or so passed by. And I was kind of anxious to know. You know how Brother Carpenter was doing. Hey, while Brother Carpenter was doing this, Sister Carpenter was standing there. She had come out and done stood on. She was up on, here on the front pew then. And you could tell by the way she was acting that she could not hardly believe it. And church, their church just about went wild. Now, the visitors didn't have too much. But I tell you, that home church tore that place up that night. Woo! Because one little woman stepped out and obeyed God. No, it wasn't very much. But she stepped out. And you can tell when she got up here, I was sitting over here somewhere. You could tell she was a little unsure. She kind of straightened up and asked. Thank him, you know, for his goodness to us and enjoyed being in the meeting with him. Y'all know the run of things, don't you? And when I started talking, he said, "Hey, boy," said, "you sound like you're right across the street somewhere." He said, "Are you here in town?" I said, "No, sir, I'm sitting right here in my home at Falk, Arkansas." I says, "Oh." He said, "You know, Brother Ben, I've been hearing ever since that night." I don't know, y'all, do y'all want a $2,100 ear set? I'm sure Brother Carpenter will sell you his, Brother Jack. But God can heal you, Brother Jack. If somebody will step out, if somebody will do something for God, if the church will move, in obedience, it'll move the hand of God to do miracles among us. I'm looking for it right here tonight. I said, I'm looking for it right here tonight. God wants his people to be obedient. And did you know the more we obey him, the more he can entrust us with, and the more that he'll do with us if we'll just step out and do what he wants us to do. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, Abraham, he didn't know just exactly the way things was going to turn out. But one thing he knew the voice of God. And God had told him, "Go and offer up your son, thine only son, Isaac." Didn't make no mistake, but God let him know plainly what he wanted to do. Isn't that good that God let us know what he wants to do, and there's no doubt. Some of the young preachers has come to me and says, "Brother Ben, I'm kind of confused here." Says, "When should I go preach?" I said, don't worry about going and preaching. I said, "You will know it when it comes." Now, that's not too much information to a young preacher. And I've had them look like turn around disappointed. But they found out what I was talking about when it happened. God knows the time for a young preacher to step out. And he knows how to tell them that it's time. And obedience is what gets things accomplished for God. Abraham did it. I was telling the church here maybe the other night, do you know the New Testament, every time it mentions Abraham sacrificing Isaac, it says Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice.
Amen.
Hebrews did it. James did it. And Brother Marvin, if we didn't have the Old Testament to show us the details of just what happened, that's the reason you need the Old Testament and the New Testament. And some folks won't have nothing to do with the Old Testament. You're going to be a dummy if you don't read the Old Testament. You got to understand the Hebrews through the Old Testament. You talk about all them priests and Melchizedek and all of that. Well, I'm just a New Testament reader. Who is this fella Melchizedek? Read the Old Testament. Right? You got to have both of them.
Amen.
An eagle has got to have both wings to fly.
Yeah.
And a Christian has got to have the Old and the New Testament to fly.
Double.
Glory! Repent and be baptized. They got about, that's about all they read is the New Testament. And they sound like it sometimes too. They got this little thing going through the Bible. Yeah, they're pretty eloquent on that. But oh, let's read all of it. Let's read all of the Bible. Amen. The Bible says in His Word that He gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. Hallelujah. Just simple obedience is what God wants. Simple obedience is what God wants. God tells you to do something, do it. Hallelujah. Obedience to God is an important thing, and it brings a blessing. You know, even a child, when he obeys his mother and daddy, feels good about it afterwards, because it's the right thing to do. Obedience. God's children obeying God and looking to God brings the blessing in a church. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Ben, Abraham wasn't intending to do it, no way. Well, that voice that came from heaven had to holler at him twice before he got him stopped. Amen. And when Abraham looked around, he saw a ram hung in the thicket. You know, he'd already told Isaac, he said, "My son, God will provide Himself a sacrifice." Abraham's obedience. We're still preaching about him right down here in the last days. Hallelujah. I want every head to be bowed, and I want every child of God to pray. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. The Bible tells us in His Word to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto thee. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. And to him that knocketh, seeketh, he shall find. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. Seek the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible tells us that He gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. Hallelujah. I want everybody to stand. to your feet. Amen. All of you that need the Holy Ghost, I want you to raise your hands right back there where you're at. I want you to raise your hands right where you are. If you need the Holy Ghost. Amen. Church, those of us that have the Holy Ghost, I want us to pray for them before they come and pray that God will fill them with the Holy Ghost tonight. God of heaven, Lord, you know how badly men and women need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I ask you, Lord, God, to fill them tonight. Help them, Lord, God, to praise and to magnify thee. Help them to glorify thee, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Those of you that need the Holy Ghost, don't come in and kneel tonight. But I want you to come and stand up here so God's people can get around you and pray with you and pray for you. Come on, right now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Amen. Just step right on out. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Oh, yes, Lord. All of you that need the Holy Ghost, just come right on to the altar right now. Come on, church. Those of us that have the Holy Ghost, let's gather around these and ask God to fill them tonight with that good Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord.